Pray with me this morning as we open our time. We're online. We are up and ready. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for those who are visiting here with us. We thank you for those who are out there on the internet watching and partaking of this. For Lord God, in this day, we have taken communion, and Lord, we offer up ourselves as vessels to be used by you, because we need to understand who you are in our lives. And we need to know, Lord, what is your purpose for my life? Why do I exist? Why am I here? So, Lord God, as we open our lives to you, may you give us clarity of mind and of heart. And Lord, I pray that this day you would bring your word to life in the hearts of your hearers, that as your word is spoken, that as it goes forward, as we all know, it shall not return to you void, but will accomplish the goal to which it has been sent. Father, we thank you for that blessing in Christ Jesus. And all God's church says, amen. Well, today's sermon is entitled, How Do You Spell Go? Now, that sounds like a really dumb question, doesn't it? That's a two-letter word. How do you spell go? Well, actually, it's a pretty intense question when you think about the context of that question, because we are told in the scriptures to go, right? We are told to go, and right now our children are going because Pastor keeps forgetting to tell them to go to children's church, and that's a good thing, and we thank the Lord for our children. And for the teachers that teach them, amen? So as we are going, what does that mean? We know what it means to love God. We know what it means to love others. We have understood those things over these last several weeks. We've been dealing a lot with that. And now today we're going to deal with going and what going does. So part of that I want to bring to you today is actually testimony. Because a lot of what I'm going to be looking at, even in the scriptures, where a lot of it comes from, is testimony. And if you look at the Bible in its context, it literally is testimony. A lot of people will think, well, what do you mean the Bible's testimony? The Apostle Paul wrote to people about problems that they were having. It's the Apostle Paul's testimony to them of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit will change and work in our lives if we do as we are told, okay? In fact, Jesus told us that, you know, if you obey my teachings, which we're going to get into. But before we get into that, I want to hear a testimony. So Brother Mitch has actually prearranged this, and it was so funny because he forgot, and I praise Jesus that he's here. So Brother Mitch is going to give testimony today because it's so important as to our going and what our going does. Brother Mitch, come on up here. For those of you out there on the internet that don't know Brother Mitch, that one's wired. Do you have a loose one? If not, I'll pull this one. You give him that one. You're wired. There you go. Brother Mitch is a Gideon, and he has shared so many wonderful testimonies with us, and I want you all to understand that this man has given his life to giving the word of God to whomever shall receive it. So, Brother Mitch, give us testimony this day.
Good morning. We are involved, the Gideon's International is involved with a program, it's a God movement called Take Back Our Seeds for Christ. I have been involved in this since it came to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And I don't know how much I should get into this at this point, but anyway, I want our church to be active in sharing your testimony. And through the time I've been involved in this movement, God told me it's not what I want, it's what the church wants. And I've taken this to the elders. I've been, after a pastor, prayed for this movement for the last year. I present to the elders last week, and it's up to the congregation sitting in the seats right now to decide what you want to do with this movement. And I want to see it come to Lebanon County, okay? Harrisburg, we have about a dozen churches that sign up for this movement. The Gideons have gone through extensive training, and we are now doing the prayer walks. I was with a church called Kingdom Embassy. About the last Sunday of April, I was with them for their preparation day, teaching them how to use the tools that God provides with testaments and such. And two Sundays ago, we had our first prayer walk with Kingdom Embassy. And I can tell you it was fruitful. The first home that we stopped at, about four homes from the church, was a lady and her children on the porch. And this was at the church on a Sunday. And the people of the church gave them the church information. They gave them tracts. And the pastor talked to these people. And when they all got finished, I went up to the lady and gave her a testament like this one. And I showed her the front of the testament has a place you can sign your name. There's also a place that has a help section. And I showed her that. I'm not nervous. Anyway, there's a help section that you can find answers to life's questions. And in the back of this testament, there's God's plan of salvation. And I asked the lady, I said, if you were to die today, do you know where you would go? She said, hopefully to heaven. I said, hopefully. I said, do you know for sure? And she said, no. And so I took to the back of the testament, and we went through the verses, and there was a prayer you can pray to receive Jesus Christ. And she prayed to receive Jesus Christ that Sunday afternoon. Praise the Lord. Through the prayer walk, another young lady who had her arms full of bags, she came from the grocery store. We've seen her along the way. She also prayed to receive Jesus Christ as her Savior. So two souls were entered into the Lamb's Book of Life that Sunday afternoon. Is it worth the effort? It is. This morning, I read a testimony out of our magazine, which just came in from the Gideon's International. And there was a convention, the Florida State Convention. And there was training for the Gideons to go out into the community to share their witness. And one of the biggest things that people are afraid of in sharing their witness is fear. Okay? Fear of not having the right answer and just fear of talking to people. And this Gideon actually had some fear himself. And after the training was gone, they went through the training, and when they left to go out in the street, he encountered a lady and her husband, and the whole family actually became saved in that little conversation she had with this Gideon. So I'm asking you this morning to pray about what you want to do with Take Back Our Cities for Christ. I want to see you come to Lebanon County, but it's not what I want, it's what you want. And hopefully, if you want to see the chairs get filled with people in this church, you got to share your faith, and you have to bring them into the kingdom first, and then they'll come in, and then they'll come into here. And I'm not sure what the dates are for a preparation day. It's up to pastor. But my plea to you this morning is what do you want to do to share your faith in Lebanon County and the community you live in? People are hurting. People need the Lord. And they're not going to come in here. We have to go out to them. And so that being said, thank you. And pray about this movement and pray to become active in it. And don't be afraid. Don't be scared, because I plant, Apollos waters, and God gives you increase. All we need to do is say, would you like a free gift? And the Holy Spirit takes over from there. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Mitch. Give him an applause. I mean, yeah, he works hard. It can be a scary thing out there in the field. And many of us are intimidated by our go. Okay? That's how Brother Mitch spells go. He goes with the Gideons. He is a Gideon, and he takes that word out. Last Sunday, if you were here, there were two carnations on the altar. Those two carnations, and I didn't bring reference to them because I knew I was going to be talking about them this week, were representative of those two souls that were saved on his last crusade walk when he went with the church there in Harrisburg. And that's what it takes, one life at a time, one life at a time. But we have to invest in that go. So how do we spell go? Well, I want us to understand go before we learn how to spell it. So turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew in the 28th verse. We're going to begin in the 28th chapter. We're going to begin in verse 18. This is all familiar stuff. We all know this. This is the commissioning of the church. This is where Jesus gives us our marching orders that we are to go out. But I want us to understand it in the text context that it was given, not in the context that it is translated. Okay? And I'll explain that in just a minute. But let us read the word of God, and that it may bless our souls, for it shall not go out and return void. And thus saith the Lord from verse 18, all authority has been given unto me, that is Jesus Christ, in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
The word here that I'm looking at, the words that I'm looking at, is in verse 19. It says, go therefore. We understand that in our English context as being told to do something. Okay, that's a verb. We are being told to go. In fact, it's part of our mission statement. Love God, love others, go. Take the word of God out into the world. All right? The reality is the command in this sentence, scripturally, is what? Is it to go? No. The command is to make disciples. Read it. Go therefore, what? Make disciples. That's the verb. The verb is make. Okay? So what is the go therefore? See, I think that's why the go therefore is there, so we understand. What is the go therefore? The go is there to tell us what we are doing, why we are doing, as you are about your life. That is the actual Greek translation. If you and I were to translate that into a thought rather than a word. When the translators brought this into a word, they had to say, okay, how do we translate this, what this means, into a single word in our English vocabulary? Because we like word-for-word translations. So they said, well, go, because this is, you know, as we're going and as we're being about life, because that's what the Greek word means. As you are about your life, as you are walking your life, as you are living your life. Now, Paige, does your life look like mine? Okay. Mitch, does your life look like mine? Does it work like mine? Isabella, are you in all the same circumstances in life that I'm in? No. We're all different. All of our goes are going to be different. How you spell go is because of how you live your life. Some of us are school teachers. Some of us are retired or semi-retired, okay? Others of us are plumbers. Some of us are postal workers. Watch it. Some of us are postal. Anyhow, I won't go there. But as we go, as we are about our lives, as we are doing whatever it is we're doing, and ladies, if you're grocery shopping, can you share the gospel when you're grocery shopping? Yes. Ask Brother David and Miss Amy. David does it all the time, and Miss Amy says, oh no, there he goes again. I'm going to be in the store forever. Well, you get to do your shopping then, don't you, Miss Amy? He just takes off, does his thing. Oh, yeah. Guys, as you're out there with your buddies, can you share the gospel? Yeah. As we are going, we are to share the gospel, make disciples. That's the command. Go is how we get there. And all our goes are going to be different. And all our goes are active every day. Because until we die, we are yet living. We are yet going. Okay? And that's the connotation that I want you to understand from that command. When we say go, that means as you are living, make disciples. Because you see, it's not the going that's important. What is important? Making disciples. All of us are going. How many of you wake up every morning? Yeah? Until you die, and then you aren't going to be here, right? So until that day, you are going. And unto that day, we should be making disciples. That's what Christ is telling us here. The problem is, and I think this is so amazing, you know, people have said to me, yeah, well, now, wait a minute, Pastor, but, you know, you've got to be called to go, and you know, because you have to be called to evangelism, and, you know, I really don't think that I'm being called to go, and you know, I'm not called to leave where I am and do something else, because, you know, that God calls people to do that stuff. Let's deal with that. Turn in your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 14. Because I have heard this from so many people that it is time for us to understand God in His wisdom and in His love and mercy. Because God has superimplanted Himself into our hearts and into our lives. Can I get an amen? Amen. And in that, there's more in you than you think. And there's so much more for us to learn. So from John 14, we're going to begin in verse 21. From verse 21, we read these words. He who has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my word, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Blessed be that word of our Lord. What does he just say there? If you love me, you will what? Keep my word. Now, this is amazing because other translations and you know, as we look at this, because a lot of this is about translation, and it's understanding that when you read the Bible, you really do need to study those words. What do they mean? Because they are coming out of a Greek format and being brought into an English format. It says in there that you will keep my word. Keep my teaching. What did Jesus teach us? He taught us to go and make disciples. So if we love him, how many of you here love Jesus? Put your hand up if you love Jesus. How many of you should be going? Keep your hand up. How many of you should be going and making disciples? Wow. It looks like I got an army, at least a regiment or a platoon. A squad. God has an army. Can I get an amen on that? And we're in God's army, right? We are in God's army. And we need to remember, he wants us to be out there. And we are not taking prisoners. We are setting people free. That's the reality. We're already prisoners in this world because we are prisoners of sin. But in Christ Jesus, making a disciple means setting someone free. And if you have that mindset when you get out there and you start going and you start talking to these people, it really gives you a whole different quality of word. Because you understand, we're not taking captives. You know, we're not dragging people along with us. We're speaking a word that can set them free. And that's all about Jesus Christ, because ain't none of us can set anybody free. Amen? But God, through the sacrifice of His Son that we just partook of, has set us free. And we need to share that reality with our world. So today, we're going to be looking at that going and just what it means, and the fact that, brothers and sisters, each and every one of us has been called. If you are in Christ Jesus, you are called to go. Because if we love Him, we will obey His word. We will obey His teaching. How many of you does that scare just a little bit? You can raise your hand. Because it scares me, and I'm your preacher. I'm the guy who has to get up here every Sunday and say this stuff. And there are times that God and I wrestle all night long. And come morning, He touches me in the hip, and I gotta get up. Because it's not easy, but it's the most profitable thing you will ever become. The most profitable thing you will ever do. Because we're talking eternal things here. We are temporal beings, and we think so temporally that we forget we are eternal beings too. Because in Christ Jesus, we will live forever. And outside of Christ Jesus, you will die forever. That is something to remember. And something that we, by the grace of God, have been given the ability to help people change. So, what does going look like? How can going look? How can I get out there? How can I embrace? How can I open up? You know, what do I need to do? How do I need to do? Well, I want to use one for instance, because I think it's kind of amazing that so many of us think we can't do this stuff, when the reality is there's no excuse not to do it, because each and every one of us is alive and we all have testimony that we can share. So I want you to turn with me to one testimony, and it's in the book of Acts. It's our last scripture today. It's in the book of Acts. We're going to be in chapter 17, Acts chapter 17. And we're going to begin in verse 16. Now, I'm going to be talking about the Apostle Paul. And for some of you, you're going to say, well, that's not fair. Paul was an apostle. I'm not an apostle. Well, you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. And Paul was called an apostle because God used him to bring miraculous signs and to write our scriptures, okay? But other than that, Paul was a man. He was a Christian man. He was a Christian, period. And God used him. How did God use him? Well, let's find out one of those times that God used him. From the 16th verse of the 17th chapter. It says, now, while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, he was waiting for some brothers that were in Berea, his spirit was being provoked within him as he was observing the city full of idols. So he was reasoning in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Gentiles, and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be present. And also some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers were conversing with him. Some were saying, what would this idle babbler wish to say? Others, he seems to be a proclaimer of strange deities because he is preaching Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new teaching is which you are proclaiming? For you are bringing some strange thing to our ears, so we want to know what these things mean. Now all the Athenians and the strangers visiting there used to spend their time in nothing other than telling or hearing something new. So Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I observe that you are a very religious in all respects. For while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. And Paul continued on from that point, explaining all the things about God until he delivered the gospel of Jesus Christ, the living Savior of our world. What's my point in all of this? Where am I going with all of this? There are a lot of people out there who have so many idols in their lives. They're called money. It's called jobs. It's called, you know, whatever you want to call it. And then yet they say, many of them say, oh yeah, well, I know there's a God. Now we're on common ground. Because I know God. And so do you. These people don't. So many people in the United States today call themselves Christians because they know there's a God. Guess what? Satan knows there's a God, and even he trembles. These people don't tremble because they have bought the lies of Satan. We need to teach them. We need to make disciples by going into our community, by going, by living our lives and being about our lives and bringing that gospel in the reality. When we see a reason to celebrate God in somebody else's life, how many of you have been present when a baby has been born? Thank you for being here today. That's a miracle. And we know who brought that miracle into being. And I mean to tell you, it wasn't mommy and daddy. It was the Father who made it happen. And now there's a responsibility to that life. And we, the church, need to encourage mom and auntie. And even grandma and grandpa, right? And great-grandma and great-grandpa. That's four generations. Yeah. What's that? Is it really? Oh, my heavens, there's five generations. That's awesome. Praise the Lord. But we have the answers. We can see the miracles in everybody's life every day. Yeah. Right there it is, the Word of God. You and I know that God is alive and active, and he is ever present. And these people don't have the eyes to see it. Paul was looking into their world, and he saw that they recognized something, and they were trying to figure it out, and they were putting up idols everywhere. When the whole thing was, here's this unknown God over here that probably nobody paid any attention to. But you know what? Just in case we missed him, you know, let's put up an altar so when we get there, we can say, yeah, but I thought we had that covered. And God says, no, you didn't have it covered because you never addressed me. You never got to know me. we can be there to help them get to know, because we do know. And sometimes God asks us to be a guide. One of the things I want you to remember is when Christ lives in you, who are you to live for? Boy, guys, we hit this morning, didn't we? You know, we are to live for Christ, die to self, live for Christ. So I'm going to ask you here in just a little bit, I want you to think about how we're going to go as a church. We each need to go individually, but we need to go as a church because we want to see people hearing the word of the Lord. I've often said, and you all know me, I've said this many times, I don't really care where a person goes to church, but that they go to church and hear the word of God. Well, the closer we get to end times, the more I do care about where they go to church, because they're not hearing the word of God. They're hearing wonderful little stories that make you feel good about yourself, and God pardons all sin. Well, God does pardon sin, but not all sin, because if you're truly not repenting and turning from that sin, there is no more sacrifice for sin, for we have trampled underfoot the precious blood of Jesus Christ, okay? And what awaits us is wrath. And that's the Bible, folks. You know, I'm not making that up. Please look in the book of Romans and look in the book of Hebrews. You'll find it at both those places. But we can keep that from happening to people by bringing them in. So I ask you this day, you know, I really want you to think about this. I want you to pray about this, because there's going to come a moment here in the next couple weeks, the elders and I have to sit down and talk. And I want you to think, how many of you are willing to be part of a go that is corporate? How many of you are willing to get out here and walk through our community, knock on a door, and say, hey, we're from the heart of, and you're not going to go alone, it'll be groups of two or three, okay? And there'll be several groups doing a community, and we're going to do this not once, but we're going to do it throughout the summer and into the fall while the weather is really nice, okay? Because I don't want anybody out there slipping and falling on snow and breaking their necks. But this is something we're going to do as a church. It's my prayer that we would do as a church. But you have to be the ones to say yes, not me. If you say, nope, we don't want to do that, fine, it's done. But please remember, you said no, not God. Amen? Because here's the reality. It's time. We have been growing spiritually, and I have seen a lot of spiritual growth in this church. It's time that we begin to take that growth out and use it. You know, we just got back, Wayne and Brother Chuck. And I heard Brother Chuck out there telling Miss Beth, oh, it wasn't as bad down there as people were telling you and all this stuff. And it may not have been where they were, but that was the hand of God's protection over them. Can I get an amen? Amen. How many of you were praying for those dear brothers down there? That's why my hand is in the air. But I'll guarantee you right now, for those people who died down there while they were down there, and there were over 40 who died in the time that they were there, it wasn't such a good week. Beg pardon? Since April, Wayne, 40 in the time you were there. Believe me, I kept count. I was watching. Pastor was every day on his knees, on the internet. Where is it happening? Where is it going on? And God was protecting them because God's people were praying. Well, now it's time. God's people begin moving. We're willing to send people to Nicaragua into a legitimate war zone, but we're not willing to engage our communities. We need to get our priorities right, because home is where we're needed to evangelize Lebanon County and throughout. We have folks in Jonestown. We have folks in Myerstown. We have folks in South Lebanon. We have folks in Fredericksburg. We have folks all over the place, and there are communities there that need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want you to think about it. I want you to pray about it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Share it now before I get to my end.
church, and I stopped at the C-store for a bottle of water. And last week, I was at Antioch Assembly Church to give them the preparation day. And the guy was with told me that that C-store that I was at was a shooting. Within 7 days, of the shooting. And I think it was the one where the gangs shot each other, or at each other, and a bystander was killed within 7 days. How important is it that we get out here and do this and share faith with people in the community? That the person that was killed know the Lord? And the shooters definitely need to know the Lord. So, important.
Amen. Our lives have more intersections with places of God than we will ever know. The point of it is, do we take those opportunities to be going and making disciples in those moments? Because once a moment is gone in your life, I don't know about you, but I know how it works for me. I'm 55. I cannot reach back and pull up 36 ever again. If I could, I constantly would, because I'd love to stay there. I was much healthier back then. But the reality is, I am 55 and I lose moments every moment. But the one thing I do have is this moment and what I can do with it and in it. So I pray that you and I would get together in a part of our go. Because if you will get together with me and with your elders, that we go out together to bolster up your faith, you will be much more available to God to share your faith personally with your friends and with your family, because you'll understand we don't need to know all the answers. In fact, one of the greatest, and if you haven't heard it from me, then you haven't been listening, because I'll guarantee you right now, I don't know it all. There is a lot in that Bible. I've read it through so many times, but the reality is, I don't know it all. I don't have all the answers. And it's okay to say, I don't know, but can I come back and can we talk about this? Because that, my friends, is called an open door where God can walk in and literally help you build a relationship with an unsaved person unto salvation. So today, I really do, I want you to think about this, I want you to pray about this, because I truly believe that God is calling this church to move into our community. We've been moving in our world, sending guys to Nicaragua, sending them down to both the Mosquito people and the Rama people, and you know, we have missionaries out there that we support, so we're doing that good stuff, but now, we've done it. Okay, we went out to the neighborhood here and knocked on doors and handed out pamphlets. You know, we had a brother went up and he evangelized at the market up there, you know, during Sunday hours. Okay. But now pastor's asking, because I think it's time. We know what it means to love God. We know what it means to love the others, because God has allowed us together to get to that place. And now God's asking us to go. Go what? Make disciples. Let us go in the name of the Lord. And let us bring in, let us usher in the kingdom into some people's lives. And for others, all we're going to do is plant seeds or water seeds that have already been planted. Or even perhaps for some, till the soil for the very first time. And for others, we shall reap the harvest and we'll place a carnation on the altar and hopefully a life into our church and get them plugged in to the life of Jesus Christ. And I'll guarantee you right now, the one thing they're going to learn from us is it's a progression. How'd that get you, Marion? It's a progression, because God moves us from glory to ever-increasing glory. Would you pray with me this day? Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it does not go out void and return to you, having not achieved, but having achieved everything to which you sent it forth. So, Lord, may this word touch our hearts and our lives, and may we come together as a church to go out into our communities and to share the hope of the gospel. Lord, it's just an invitation, just a hello, how are you, from the heart of Christ Church, and give that opportunity to know Jesus Christ. Lord God, we thank you that you saw fit, that someone gave us that opportunity, that we are here today. And Lord, as we see this world hurting in the manner it is, we should not be doing anything but taking the word into the world at every cost. Father God, we thank you that you paid that cost through your Son, who is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.